The innocent and sinless Lord Jesus, dying for sinners, made it possible for us to be forgiven rather than to be judged for our sins. Thank God for the fact of propitiation. Propitiation means that the saving deed of Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection has satisfied all the claims of divine holiness, righteousness, and justice against sinners, so God is free to act in forgiving their sin and saving them eternally by grace. Apart from the propitiation provided in the blood of Jesus, there would be no salvation possible for any person. Man's sin made God unapproachable, and the divine holiness of God would never accept a person who was defiled by personal guilt. But propitiation was divided when the innocent and sinless Lord Jesus suffered as if He were a guilty and condemned sinner. When He had suffered the just for the unjust, it was possible that He could bring us to God. God had a basis on which to receive us and deal in grace toward us. What was the method by which Jesus made propitiation for our sins? What did it take to satisfy the demands of divine law so that God could deal with us without falling on us in judgment? It took the lifeblood of His only begotten Son. It was in the vicarious death and substitutionary atonement provided through the cross and resurrection of Jesus that God is propitiated and can deal savingly with sinners. The principle of the sinless suffering in the place of the sinful is rooted deep in divine revelation recorded in the Old Testament scriptures. The first foregleam of it is Genesis 3:21. God replaced the insufficient fig leaf clothing of Adam and Eve with the more permanent clothing of the skins of animals. That, in turn, necessitated the death of the animals whose skins were used to clothe them. So God was the first to take from the innocent to provide for the guilty. The sacred record reports, "Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them." No further information is given concerning the principle of offering the sinless sacrifice for the sins of men, but the practice must have been instituted by God and taught to mankind. Genesis chapter 4 pictures Cain and Abel coming before God with a sacrifice. Cain brought the fruit of his fields. Abel brought an innocent firstborn lamb of his flock. Now that is the first record of a formal worship ceremony in the Bible, and the offering of sacrifice for sin is already established. The sacrifice of the Passover lamb in Egypt is the best example of the method of propitiation. Here's the procedure they followed. Each family selected a lamb, a male not more than 1 year old and without blemish, and it was kept for 4 days to make sure that it was pure. At a set hour in the evening, the lamb was killed. Its blood was caught and smeared with hyssop on the doorpost and the lintel of the door of each house in which a Hebrew resided there in Egypt. The flesh of the animal was cooked by roasting, and all of it was eaten that same evening. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, why was such a ceremony necessary? God explained, "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." That was a very solemn evening in the households of the Hebrews. They did as God had decreed. They applied the blood as He had instructed. They waited inside their houses with dependence on Him to keep His promise and to spare their firstborn from death. The presence of the blood on the lintel and the doorpost was a mute but vivid testimony. It declared, "We are in the land of death under the sentence of death. We accept death as our sure fate, except for the divine command." And in declaration of our faith in God to keep us from danger when the death angel passes through, we will trust Him alone for our lives. Now their lives was based upon God accepting the death of the Passover lamb. That's a vivid picture of propitiation. Leviticus 17:11 is the formal expression of the principle of substitutionary sacrifice. It reads, "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." So consider the ritual on the solemn Day of Atonement in ancient Israel, as recorded in Leviticus 16. A ram was brought to the high priest, slain in sacrifice, and its blood was sprinkled to make an atonement for the high priest himself. Then two goats were brought, and lots were cast to select one of them from the other. The animal on which the lot fell was brought before the tabernacle and slain. Its blood was caught in a basin. The high priest went into the most holy place, after having washed his body in water and put on special linen garments, and there he sprinkled the blood before and upon the mercy seat. Then he came out, laid his hands on the head of the second goat, and confessed the sins of the people upon it. That animal was taken far away and released in an uninhabited region where it would never again return to the camp of Israel. Now those rituals spoke a solemn message concerning the truth of propitiation. The one animal died, and its blood was sprinkled to secure atonement for sin. The other animal bore away from the camp the collective sins of the nation. Now the bearing away of the sin was due to the death for sin which had preceded it. So the New Testament takes up that symbol and interprets it in the light of the saving work of Jesus Christ. The very word forgive means to lift up and bear away, as the scapegoat bore away symbolically the sins of Israel on the Day of Atonement. Jesus is manifest as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who died, and he is the one who bore away the sin, the picture in both animals being fulfilled in him as he bore our sins in his own body on the cross. Through him is preached the forgiveness of sin. In fact, there is no other name through whom forgiveness and salvation from sin can be received. Jesus fulfilled all the pictures and the prophecies of the Old Testament. He is not only the sacrifice which is offered for sin, he served also as the priest by offering up himself as a sacrifice. Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12 reports it in these words. But Christ being come, and high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What was the method by which God is propitiated so that he can deal in mercy and grace toward sinners? Jesus Christ took the sins of men upon himself and died in the place of guilty sinners as if he was personally responsible and guilty for their sins. He took his blood into the very presence of God himself, even in heaven, and presented it there as an atonement for sin. Upon the basis of Jesus' sacrifice for guilty sinners, God was able to deal with their sins in forgiveness. The innocent, sinless Lord Jesus, dying for sinners, made it possible for us to be forgiven rather than to be judged for our sins. Thank God for the fact of propitiation. Father, we do not comprehend the great love and grace you have shown toward us in the propitiatory sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but we thank you for it. Thank you that Jesus died for us and that he rose again victorious over death. Thank you, he's a living Savior today through whom we can come personally and directly into your divine presence. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.